From beanies to carry bags and from shoes to caps, browse our shop now at tntradio.live. Steve Malzberg on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome aboard, folks. It's 4 minutes past the hour of 9 p.m. on Monday evening here on the East Coast of the United States. And you know what day and time it is wherever you are listening or to and or watching the Steve Malzberg Show. I should have said partaking of. That's what I usually say. But I got Super Bowl on the brain. Okay, of course, we're here on TNT. So for those of you, let's skip ahead to overtime here at the Super Bowl. They had the coin flip, and Kansas City was considered the home team, so San Francisco got to call heads or tails. They won in overtime, the flip. So they get to decide, do they want the ball first, or do they want to let kick off first? They took the ball first, which is a mistake in the new revamped overtime with the new revamped rules. And then it came out, they didn't know the rules. At one point, it was if you score first, you win. That's not how it is. You score, and the other team gets a chance to score as well. If you score a field goal and they score a touchdown, they win, which is what happened, and Kansas City won. The Niners scored a field goal. Kansas City knew they needed a touchdown, and they drove down the field and scored it and won. You give Kansas City the ball first, see what they could do. Then you know what you have to do. Do I need a touchdown? Do I need a field goal? It's an advantage. And they blew that advantage. I'm not saying they would have won, but I don't think it would have hurt. I didn't bet. I didn't really care. I do have a thing that I don't like to see teams become dynasties. If the New Jersey Devils became a dynasty, I'd be okay with it. But I don't like to see teams become a dynasty because when I was a kid, and get to my 20s and all that in that area, the New York Islanders, I watched the Islanders from their inception. I got to cover for WABC, the Islanders' first cup, second cup. I was there when they went for their fifth straight cup in Edmonton and lost in their attempt to for their fifth straight cup. But did you hear what I said? Their fifth straight cup. They won four cups in a row, 80, 81, 82, 83, and went to the finals in 84 in Edmonton and lost. Oh, to Edmonton and lost to Edmonton. They were also games in New York. But they won 19 straight playoff series and lost in that 20th series, which was the finals of 84, going for their fifth straight cup over the course of 5 years. Okay, so I don't want any team to come close to that. I've always been obsessed with that, and nobody's come close to that. So gonna root extra hard against Kansas City in the upcoming NFL season next year. Later this year, next year, Super Bowl, God willing, I'll be here to do it. But you know what I mean. So that's one of my reasons. If I don't have in sports these days, Devils. I'm a Devils fan. And why'd I switch from the Islanders to the Devils? Long story. I'm not going to get into it. I did do Devils pre and post game show for a couple of years, did cover them. And my son became a big Devils fan. We named our dog after the greatest goaltender of all time, Marty, after Martin Brodeur. And that's a long story. But anyway, so that's my thought on the Super Bowl and more thoughts on the Super Bowl, which I'll get to in a second. There was a horrific occurrence that occurred at Joel Osteen's church in his mega church Sunday afternoon in Houston, in an arena that seats about 16,000. Pro teams used to play there. And you've all seen Joel Osteen give sermons on television. A lot of those are televised and whatnot. And I had the pleasure of meeting him once many years ago when I was at Newsmax TV. So there was a shooting. Thank God there weren't, the only person who's dead is the shooter. There's a 7-year-old boy critically wounded, and another one of the parishioners or someone involved there got shot in the leg, I believe. So that could have been a lot much, 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 much worse. The shooter has been identified as an identity-switching Hispanic woman with pro-Palestine anti-Semitic beliefs, which means the logical place you wind up is in a Joel Osteen megachurch. Reportedly, the woman used to be married to some Jewish guy, or the family of the guy she was married to is Jewish. She was in a custody battle because the guy's in jail, and the mother of the guy, who's Jewish, apparently wanted the kid, blah, 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 blah. There was also some affiliation with the church, apparently, reportedly, by some of the husband's family members. So I don't know why he or she, whatever he or she thought he or she was on Sunday, went to that church. But I will raise this point. I will raise this point. And you may not think it's an analogy. Frankly, I don't care. I do. I think it's an analogy. The one of the police chiefs, by the way, that seven-year-old boy, her son, the rifle, CNN was told by law enforcement, said free Palestine on the rifle. Then we were told at the press conference that it was just said Palestine on the rifle. The boy, her son, she pulled into the parking lot with her son, dressed in a trench coat with the gun, the whole thing, with her son, who's now laying in a hospital in critical condition. Shot, they don't know, they're not saying if they do, whether it was by the woman, whether it was by one of the police, who are heroes, that there weren't any further injuries. This could have been a disaster, more so than it was. The police chief said she used her seven-year-old son as a human shield. Where have I heard that before? She says, he says, the police chief, the suspect put that boy in danger. He said, I put the blame on her for what happened to that boy, laying in the hospital in critical condition. He commended the officers for shooting and taking her down, or him down, or whatever it was. Not the kid, obviously, but the mother, the shooter. Now, by some logic, it was a little kid. She was using the kid as a human shield. And the kid got shot. So by some logic, where's the outcry condemning the police? They should have just let her go. You can't shoot at a woman who's holding a gun, but is holding a kid in front of her. Can you? That's a human shield. That's now acceptable. Is it not? In war, it apparently is. I made the analogy time and time and time again since October 7th. What if someone broke into your house and they said, I'm going to kill you, and they have guns drawn, and you have a gun, and you have a chance to shoot them, but they have a child in front of them? Are you going to just say, oh, throw the gun up and say, go ahead, you win, you got a human shield? Is that what we've become? Thank God, no, not in Houston, where there would have been a lot of dead bodies, a lot of innocent people dead. As it turns out, the shooter's dead, and the person that her son that she sacrificed or tried to is laying in critical condition in a hospital. We pray for him. But I don't know. What are the rules? Common sense dictates you don't allow someone with a gun. You don't allow someone who's going to kill people. Someone who's killed people and says, I'm going to do it again. You don't allow them to go and do it again, possibly, walk away, succeed in killing more people because if we get them, we might get some of their human shields. Because once we start doing that, the world as we know it is over. Over. Think of you. Think of your family. Think of your kids in a school. Think of any situation you want. If all it takes is for the bad guy to surround himself with innocence, and that's a get out of jail free card, that's a card to walk around and do whatever you want card, we're done. We're done. So just keep that in mind. Now, Joe Biden, as you may or may not know, we talked about it, turned down a chance for the second time in a row, second year in a row, he broke tradition. Maybe he's setting his own tradition now. Turned down the Super Bowl, the pre-Super Bowl interview. Could have done it on CBS before the game. Could have reached tens of millions of people, right? No, not Joe. So what was Joe? What did Joe put out for the Super Bowl? Well, first get a load of this one. This is 146.
The Super Bowl Sunday. If you're anything like me, you like to be surrounded by a snack or two while watching the big game. You know, when buying snacks for the game, you might have noticed one thing. Sports drinks bottles are smaller. A bag of chips has fewer chips, but they're still charging it just as much. And as an ice cream lover, what makes me the most angry is that ice cream cartons have actually shrunk in size, but not in price. I've had enough of what they call shrinkflation. It's a ripoff. Some companies are trying to pull a fast one by shrinking the products little by little and hoping you won't notice. Give me a break. The American public is tired of being played for suckers. I'm calling on companies to put a stop to this. Let's make sure businesses do the right thing now.
How pathetic. I mean, really, how pathetic. This shrinkflation's been going on forever. Forever. Orange juice used to be a half gallon. Half gallon? Gallon, what's 64 ounces? A half gallon or a gallon? Whatever the heck. It's 50-something ounces. I mean, it's been going on forever. I'm not going to name products here because I could be wrong, but I'm pretty darn sure I know a lot of products that you eat, snacks and different things, that have gone down in size, in weight, in the package, in content, you know, and the price stays the same or goes up. What, this is something new? Poor Joe Biden, with the millions he took in from the Chinese and everybody else, he can't afford ice cream? My heart bleeds for him. Bleeds for him. And then Biden put out something on TikTok. TikTok, which our government employees are forbidden from going on because it's considered a security threat to this nation. So the Biden campaign puts Biden on TikTok. Here is cut number 154.
Chiefs or Niners?
Two great quarterbacks, hard to decide. But if I didn't say I was for the Eagles, then I'd be sleeping alone. My wife's a Philly girl.
Game or commercials?
Game.
Game or halftime show?
Game.
Jason Kelsey or Travis Kelsey?
Mama Kelsey. I understand she makes great chocolate chip cookies.
Deviously plotting to rig the season so the Chiefs would make the Super Bowl, or the Chiefs just being a good football team?
You'd get in trouble if I told you.
Trump or Biden?
Are you kidding? Biden.
Wow, he is such a cool guy, isn't he? Oh, all the kids on TikTok, all the young Gen, whatever the heck they are, Z, Y, R, X, whatever. I don't know. What do you do when you get to Z and you run out and you're down to Z? There was X, Y, Z, or Z, Y, X, Y. Maybe they're moving up. Maybe Z was the first, was the oldest, and Y was kind of newer, and then X was even newer. Is that how they're doing it? They're moving up? I don't know. Oh, it start with, okay, well then what happens after Z? Back to A. A2. I love it. Anyway, so this is what he did, okay? But we're going to hear from John Kirby, who now has an increased role as a Biden spokesperson, by the way. And the White House made sure to say that the self-proclaimed historic figure, the black lesbian Karine Jean-Pierre, doesn't diminish her at all, but Kirby has an increased role in speaking. So we'll hear from him. We'll talk. We'll let you hear that and see that when our guest arrives, Professor Nicholas Giordano, at the bottom of the hour. James Carville, Democratic strategist. He's the guy who invented "It's the economy, stupid." In 1991 or so, 1990, when Bill Clinton was running for president. 91? No, let's see, 88? No, had to be 92. So it was probably 91. The election was 92. Anyway, you know, you've seen Carville. Most recently, we played him claiming that Donald Trump has secondary syphilis because he had red marks on his hand. Oh, please, please. We don't even know if they were real or if AI put them there. But anyway, so he weighed in here on the Super Bowl and the missed opportunity by Biden. Here's 136.
So if you were running the campaign, what do you do? Do you put them out more? Do you put them out less? How the hell do you handle this?
Well, when you don't accept a Super Bowl interview, you're, I don't know, pulling averages, you're 3 points down in a two-way. It's the biggest television audience, not even close. And you get a chance to do a 20, 25 minute interview on that day and you don't do it. That's a kind of sign that the staff or yourself doesn't have much confidence in you. There's no other way to read this. And he's not going to do debates. He is old. I know what it is because I'm almost as old as he is. And it's never going to get better. You're never, you know, today is the youngest you'll ever be for the rest of your life. Now, they have made the choice that they want to go through with this.
Okay. Yeah. And the campaign manager said there's no way Biden's dropping out. Who the heck knows? And Kamala Harris just said in a Wall Street Journal interview, she's ready to lead if the need arises. Lead what? Lead what? A group of school buses? Oh, my God. Okay. So that was Carville. Now, Jill Biden, who I literally, it's like when hearing her talk, I react. It's like when someone scratches nails on a chalkboard. She disgusts me, okay? She disgusts me for a lot of reasons. Probably most of all, she's abusing her husband. It's elder abuse, in my opinion, and the opinion of some others as well. So she puts out a fundraising letter, an email, based on what they said about poor Joe's memory and poor Joe is old, you know, based on the special counsel's report that we talked about last week. So here on Meet the Press, NBC's White House correspondent Peter Alexander is talking about that with the host on the panel. And here is cut 143.
Well, she said, among other things in that statement, she said that this Robert Hur, the special counsel, was trying to score political points, said you don't measure the death of your son in years. You measure it in grief. I spoke to a series of officials, including at the campaign, a senior campaign advisor, saying basically the thinking behind this was if the special counsel is going to be attacking our son and using him as a political weapon, then she's going to have something to say about it, which is exactly why she spoke out. And a person who's close to the first lady told me that she was directly involved in the crafting of this fundraising email. Jen, you know well, it's not always the case that it's like that. She said, among other things, that she wanted to speak out in real American mom terms to say that this wasn't just inaccurate, that it was inhumane. And then she also wanted to make another argument that the first lady did there. She said that Americans benefit from each of the president's 81 years. His experience, his expertise is what's allowed him to get things done.
Real American mom terms, because she's that prototypical American mom. I am so biting my tongue. I am so biting my tongue when it comes to Jill Biden. Oh my God, she's on this, that she just loves being first lady. I don't know where she goes, what she does, who she's with, what she's doing. I mean, she watches her husband sniff little children, has watched him do that for years when he was vice president, swearing in the new senators. That's where most of those videos are from. There are some new ones, but most of them are, they'd all come in with the family. They get sworn in. They take pictures. Biden stands with them and he's You know, as he's stroking the hair or grabbing them around the waist or kissing their neck. Little girls! How do you do that? How do you let your husband do that? Anyway, how do you let your husband now run and think of serving more time when he's falling down? He just reportedly hit his head getting out of air, Marine One, the helicopter. Hit his head. I mean, he's a walking disaster, and it's not his fault. For those of you who don't know what Jill Biden sounds like, here she is making a fool of herself. First of all, insulting Latinos, mispronouncing bodega, comparing Hispanics to Hispanics to tacos, and totally butchering si se puede. Listen and watch for yourself. Here's cut 144.
But we can't get those things on our own. Raul helped build this organization with the understanding that the diversity of this community, as distinct as the Bogotas of the Bronx, as beautiful as the blossoms of Miami, and as unique as the breakfast tacos here in San Antonio, is your strength.
So say it with me. Si se puede. The future is ours. Thank you.
This is a teacher. This is Dr. Jill Biden. We must call her Dr.
Si se puede.
Ugh. I'm sorry. Chalkboard. Nails. Ugh. We got one more before we break and go to our special guest, Professor Nicholas Giordano. The Super Bowl wasn't the only event over the weekend. And you're going to love this. I've never seen this before. This was the WM Phoenix Open Golf Championship. And it was Saturday. And you got to look at what took place. Let's roll 145.
All right. Go watch a shot. Buddy, when he's over
the
shot,
shut the hell up,
man.
Guys.
Come on.
Damn golf
shot here.
It's
a fucking job.
Holy.
I've never seen, I don't know where security was. I don't have a clue. I've never seen anything like that at a golf championship. And by the way, reportedly and not surprisingly, they cut off the sale of beer. It didn't do much good. It was a little too late. If you want to attribute all that to beer, I have no idea. What the heck is everything coming to? Okay, folks, before I break, I want to tell you that and remind you, last December, Julian Assange's two-day public hearing was announced for February 20th and 21st. That's next week, of course. And that's at the UK High Court. They're going to determine whether Julian Assange will have permission to appeal or whether he'll be extradited to the United States. And all you have to do is keep it right here on TNT, because we will be at the Royal Courts of Justice broadcasting and covering the entire event, no matter how long it takes, even if it's the entire 2 days. And TNT will broadcast live from various facilities and sites around London. So keep it tuned right here, ladies and gentlemen, TNT. All right, we're coming back with Nicholas Giordano right here. Guess where? On TNT.
TNT. Sonia Poulton.
You feel the need to describe yourself, along with being a useless eater, free speech isn't a phobia, as a male with a penis. Why would you feel the need to describe yourself as such?
Well, you never know these days, do you? Anyone can have a penis, apparently, so just thought you better make sure everybody knows.
And that is the reality, isn't it? Words have lost all meaning. And one of the things that I wanted you to come on and come and join me about and comment about is the whole issue of gender and transgenderism. Are you cis, Jack?
No. There's no such thing. There was literally no such thing until a couple of years ago. And it's their religion. It's not mine. And I refuse to get involved with this sort of terminology. It's ridiculous.
Sonia Poulton on today's News Talk TNT.
People might tell you that Lyme doesn't kill people, but we are losing people. People disappear from their lives.
One of the scariest things that I had to deal with was memory loss. Not just like I don't remember what I did last week, but like I forgot all the words to my own songs. I remember going to my primary care physician and he was like, "You are 100% healthy. There's nothing wrong with you." And my response was, "That's impossible. I'm dying."
I wasn't working. So I had all of these hospital bills. We had to move out of our home and move into my parents' basement.
I just wish I could have truly been present in those big moments, you know, when she took her first steps or, you know, her first day of preschool. Lyme is such a thief and it goes undetected because no one is looking for it.
For more information and prevention tips, go to projectlyme.org.
Now I want to say this, and I'm going to say it just once.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I welcome you back, and we are joined once again, I am very happy and proud to say, by Nicholas Giordano, professor of political science, host of the PAS Report, political podcast, and analysts, of course, and professor, always great to talk to you. Wow, where to start? What a crazy, every time we talk, and maybe you think, it's like, you know, this is like the worst it's going to get. Just give it more time. It gets crazier and worse and worse. So let me ask you, first of all, let me let you hear, and everybody else hear, John Kirby, who is a spokesman for our national security, and he's got an increased role now as a spokesman, according to the White House. And here he is addressing the fact, we played this before, that the president's campaign put him on TikTok. And let's listen to him respond to questions about that, because TikTok, it's been determined, is a threat to our national security. So here is cut 153.
So the administration still has concerns, security concerns about TikTok, even though the campaign has now joined it?
Again, I cannot speak, nor will I speak for the campaign. I can't do that or their decisions. Nothing's changed about the national security concerns from the NSC's perspective about the use of TikTok on government devices. That policy is still in place.
But surely there must have been some conversation between the White House here and the campaign on whether it was appropriate for the campaign to use it.
I can't speak to that.
We're all just trying to square why the president would use this platform that his administration is weighing a national ban on because of national security concerns.
Again, I'm not going to speak to any hypothetical ban. I can only tell you that it's not allowed on government devices. That policy remains the case, and I just can't speak for the campaign or their decisions. I apologize.
Well, first of all, he sounds a lot like Karine Jean-Pierre with his answers already. But Professor, I mean, what this is just insanity. I mean, how do you reconcile what the campaign did and Biden cut the video? And I mean, how do you reconcile that?
Well, I mean, you can reconcile it by looking at the amount of money that China has given to the Biden family business. And so it's only right that he uses their espionage software in his campaign, you know, give him a little advertisement there. In all seriousness, though, when we look at TikTok, it is a national security threat. China has the most sophisticated espionage apparatus. Everyone sees the threat, and yet we still allow TikTok to operate here in the United States. And it's not just that it's his campaign that has it on their phones that are putting out TikTok videos. It's the fact that the app can actually access the microphone, the camera, any photos, and it could listen in on conversations. So it is a national security threat. It should not be on the phones of those closest to the president. It should not be on the phones of those in his campaign staff. And they should send the message that we're not going to be using TikTok. Now, I do get it, though. In this day and age, you got to go to where the voters are. And there are a lot of young voters on TikTok. And Biden's approval amongst young voters has declined significantly. I believe in the last poll I saw, Biden only has a 3-point advantage among young adults here in the United States. So that is concerning for them. And they're looking to do outreach. And this is one of the ways that they do it. However, it does risk the idea of national security. If the administration has deemed TikTok as a national security threat to our institutions, they shouldn't be using it on the campaign.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the China angle. Great analysis there. Let me let you hear our, God help us, Homeland Security Chief Mayorkas. And he is weighing in here on the special counsel's report on Joe Biden, what he said about Joe Biden, his memory, the whole thing. And here is a cut 152.
Then made gratuitous, unnecessary, and inaccurate personal remarks, and those are improper. The most difficult part about a meeting with President Biden is preparing for it, because he is sharp, intensely probing, and detail-oriented and focused.
I mean, it's like a comedy skit, but that aside,
it's April 1st.
Yeah, right. April Fool's. And that aside, and concentrating on what really the trashing and bashing of the special counsel, the reports that are out there now that Biden is ticked off at Merrick Garland, people calling for Merrick Garland to go. I mean, I'm sorry. Don't they accuse Trump, among everything else he's going to do, you know, kill his opponents, imprison journalists, and become a dictator? But part of that, they say specifically, is he's going to weaponize the Justice Department, go after his enemies, and basically they're saying that Garland should have been looking out for Biden. Again, how do you reconcile that? I mean, it's just this is almost everyone that's spoken out, in the administration and as a supporter of the administration. They're saying that Garland never should have let it out. I mean, that's not his job. And by the way, I don't think he has. The special counsel has a right to put that stuff out, unlike the FBI director who with Hillary. I think it's different categories.
Well, it's amazing, because the projection on the left, it's always stunning. It shouldn't be stunning anymore, but it is, because when President Trump criticized Special Counsel Mueller, well, you can't do that. That's a threat to democracy. Democracy is going to come to an end. And yet now they are bashing this special counsel, when in actuality, the special counsel had no choice but to include this in his report, because Biden committed the criminal elements that Hur said. And so there had to be a way to excuse him from prosecution once he's not president of the United States. And it was basically that he is not mentally capable to stand trial. And so if he's not mentally capable to stand trial, I don't know how he's mentally capable to remain the commander in chief. But it does. I'm not mad at Biden. OK, President Biden, we all see what we see on the television screens. It's not something that was a big secret. He's been in rapid decline for the last several years. This just confirms it. I am actually extraordinarily mad at all the people that are trying to defend this, that are trying to say that the American people have no right to know that Biden is mentally incapable in the position he's in. That's who I'm angry with. The people that are trying to insulate him. Listen, this is not 1919. Woodrow Wilson having a massive stroke and his wife taking over the reins of leadership. In 2024, we have television, we have internet, we have 24/7 news networks, we have social media, and a president has to be out up front and in person. He has to show up. The fact that he had such a bad week, but this is really a continuation of what we witnessed for the last 3 years. Is it really any wonder why our adversaries have grown so much more aggressive since he took office? And now they see this, and it just opens the door for them to act even more aggressively, because they see someone who's a feeble old man in the White House, and they don't think that there's any teeth behind it. Nobody knows who's really calling the shots, But I could tell you one thing, it's not who the American people elected. And so when you have unelected bureaucrats trying to direct and control everything this president does, where they won't even let him sit for a friendly interview, a Super Bowl interview, which is friendly, it's a short interview. They don't even have the confidence in him to sit for that type of interview. What does that tell us about the United States of America today?
Yeah, no. And there'll be no debates if he's the nominee in the end, because they'll justify it by saying Trump didn't debate, in the Republican primary. So guaranteed there'll be no debates. I tend to think
that he's not going to be the nominee. And
I agree with you. Oh, yeah. I agree with you.
You look at Axelrod coming out, Carville, Begala. They're all extremely concerned. And the Democrats are in a bind because of this.
Yeah, well, what do you do? I mean, I don't know how you're going to make him drop out, because they say he's he appears to be the most stubborn man in Washington. And with his age and his condition, it makes him even more stubborn. So I don't know what they're going to do, but it's going to be interesting to see. That's for sure. Now, on the other side, Donald Trump's attorneys went to the Supreme Court today. They had until today to do this, to argue against the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals ruling from last week that Trump is not immune from prosecution in the case brought by Jack Smith. And they gave him the Trump's lawyers until Monday to get to the Supreme Court and state their case. What do you think? I mean, I think the Colorado case is open and shut. I think we all knew that even before we heard the oral arguments. And you shouldn't go by oral arguments, but these were so overwhelming. I think there's no way they're going to let Colorado kick him off the ballot. I think on everything else, I don't have the confidence in the conservative justices that they're all going to vote in lockstep. And maybe they shouldn't. What do you think the merits are on this Court of Appeals decision and the arguments today that the Trump lawyers made?
Well, I mean, I'll tell you one thing. I've gotten out of the business of trying to predict what the Supreme Court's going to do. You can never predict what the Supreme Court is going to do. And I will say, last week, it was a really good week for the former president over at the Supreme Court. And listening to the line of questioning from the justices was actually really interesting. One of the questions that really stuck out at me was actually Justice Jackson, where she was questioning what defines an insurrection. And no one really picked up on it. Everyone was focused on other parts, but she was trying to nail down what constitutes an insurrection. Has it ever been defined? And I thought that was really important, because I do think that it plays a role in this immunity case. Now, how the justices are going to rule in this case, I can't answer that question. I mean, the legal briefs were well-written. You look at Trump's lawyers, they're doing a good job. However, I think that the Supreme Court is actually going to say, well, we're going to wait on the Court of Appeals. Let the full panel of the Court of Appeals hear it first, see what they decide, and then kick it up to the Supreme Court. And I think that they're going to do that because they want to delay this as long as possible. They don't want to touch these cases with a 10-foot pole. And they don't want to be the ones seen as interfering in the election. And I think that both the conservative and the liberal justices don't want to get involved. They want to push it off as long as they can. Now, sooner or later, the case is going to make its way up to the Supreme Court, and they are going to have to make a ruling. If I was on the bench or advising those on the bench, I would say, listen, it's an election year. The American people, let them go vote. And we are going to decide these cases November after the election. We will render our decision.
I'm sorry to interrupt. So if they don't make a decision on the Colorado case, then he stays on all the ballots. There's no state that could kick him off.
Well, I think they're going to make a decision on that case, because I think it was a clear open shut case. I'm talking about the immunity cases.
The immunity. So the trial cannot start now that they've gone to the Supreme Court. The trial cannot start based on the appeals court decision. They have to wait now for the Supreme Court. And the longer it goes on, the longer before the trial could start, if they were to rule that he does have to face trial. Correct.
Correct.
Okay, good. Well, that's good. That's good. That's good for Trump. I mean, obviously.
And it could take several months. I mean, understand. The first vehicle is actually, it was only three judges from the panel that actually heard this case on the appellate court. the Trump team can say, we want it heard before all the judges on this appellate court. So it would take time for that to happen. Then it has to go back to the Supreme Court. And by the time that all happens, you know, these things don't happen overnight unless it's emergency hearings.
You
I don't
your
see
election.
This one emergency.
All right. We're talking to Professor Nicholas Giordano here on the Steve Malzberg Show. So this is something. Still, I didn't see it get a lot of play, but J.D. Vance, Senator, wrote a memo to Republican colleagues on Monday. This is as reported by Katie Pavlich at Town Hall, that in this Senate bill for aid to Ukraine and Israel, and I guess Taiwan, wherever else the aid goes, that if President Trump were to become president after this is passed and Ukraine's getting aid, if President Trump were to withdraw from or pause financial support for the war in Ukraine in order to bring the conflict to a peaceful conclusion over the objections of career experts, it would amount to the same fake violation of budget law from the first impeachment under markedly similar facts and circumstances. Partisan Democrats would seize on the opportunity to impeach him once again. Do you think Vance has a point here?
I think this is horrifying. And for all those that want to scream about threats to democracy, they are literally destroying any semblance of a democratic country. We are a constitutional republic. In our Constitution, it is explicitly laid out in Article 2 that the President of the United States has wide discretion when it comes to foreign policy. Our founding fathers did not want 535 members of Congress in the House and the Senate to be the ones to decide foreign policy. They understood that we had to speak with one voice. Now, members of Congress want to take that authority away from a president and put it in the hands of what they call experts, bureaucrats, that think they know better. The amount of power the bureaucracy has is stunning to me. And it has weakened the executive branch. It has weakened the legislative branch. And when we look at this irrational fear of a President Trump, it truly is remarkable because what these fools don't realize is that this will be true for every president going forward, not just Trump. And what they also don't realize is the fact that they have empowered the bureaucracy to such an extent that the abuses are widespread. We've spoken about them many times, including the CIA spying on sitting members of the United States Senate Intelligence Committee in 2014, and there was no accountability. And I think that it's time to rein in the bureaucracy. I think that it's time that funding gets cut. We consider closing down certain agencies that these people cannot be trusted with power. And it amazes me how both at the tail end of the Obama administration, where he signed that last executive order that allowed for anyone's name to be shared amongst the agency that's caught up within any type of foreign intercept, that is now translating, and Biden administration is working with the Senate to put in these poison pills, and it's really destructive to our country.
It is. I've got one more for you. In New York City, as in some other places, but in New York City in particular, there have been protests that close down traffic getting to the airport, getting over bridges, getting to work by pro-Palestinian groups. So the Queens Assembly person is introducing a law that would take that those protesters, and if they're found guilty of being there and blocking traffic, whatever, and labeling them officially as domestic terrorists. She said, while people have the right to protest, they do not have the right to cause fear, panic, and put the lives of other people in danger, which would allow radicals to be slapped with a Class D felony charge carrying a maximum prison sentence of 7 years. Now, I don't think there's any way in heck that that's ever going to pass the New York City Assembly, City Council. But let's say it did. Is that constitutional? Could they do that?
Oh, that goes way too far. And listen, okay. I was stuck in one of those protests. I was at JFK Airport. I had to pick someone up. It took me about an hour and a half to go literally about 0.5 miles.
Was that
it
you?
It drove me nuts. That was me. It drove me nuts.
Oh, but boy.
The idea that you're going to charge these people as domestic terrorists is insane because, again, you know, I don't think politicians realize how when you say stupid things like these or you pass laws like these, how they could be weaponized against anyone and everyone. Right. We have butchered the definition of what constitutes terrorism. And that's why we see the FBI targeting parents at school board meetings. That's why we see the FBI looking at traditional Catholics as domestic terrorists. It's because we watered down the word so much, and this just waters it down further.
If you want to charge them
with obstruction or something like that, I'm fine with that. You can't block off roadways, particularly when emergency vehicles actually have to get through to save people's lives. But at the same time, they're not domestic terrorists, and that's a dangerous road to go down.
All right. Professor Nicholas Giordano, tell people how they could find the PAS report.
Everyone could go to PASReport.com. They could follow me on X or any social media at PAS Report. I try and keep it as simple as possible. PAS Report.
Me too, with the Steve M. talk. Professor, thank you. A privilege and great talking to you, my friend.
Always a pleasure, Steve.
All right, take care. Nicholas Giordano, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, let me tell you, I'm sure you've heard me say this before. You know that none of us here at TNT Radio ever go home? It's true. We just stay here one way or another. We never go home. We're committed to bringing our take on the biggest topics of our time. We broadcast live 24/7, online, globally, no matter what. We've got you covered on today's News Talk, TNT. We have one final segment left in the hour, so don't go anywhere. Steve Malzberg right here on TNT.
With his expert analysis and opinion,
this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
Make no mistake, it wasn't none of these candidates that pulled 62.9% of the vote in Nevada. It was Donald Trump. Donald Trump is the one that beat Icky Nicky, Never Nicky, Neocon Nicky. 62.9 to 30.1%. But Nikki's undeterred. She's going to remain in it no matter what. Chris Christie, meanwhile, has announced that he hasn't ruled out an independent run for the presidency in 2024. I guess because he did so well in the Republican primary, he thinks there's ample appetite out there for him as an independent candidate. These people aren't delusional. They know they have no chance. They're being paid to stay in it. Why? To push the Donald Trump is dangerous narrative. Well, guess what? Donald Trump is dangerous. He's dangerous to the globalist plans to take over the world and subject we the people under the boot heel of tyranny. He's dangerous to the Democrats' plans to keep the border open and destroy our country from within. He's dangerous to the status quo. And that's exactly why we love him. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for today's News Talk, TNT.
Prescription drug pricing points to corporate
Freedom of the press is about your right to know. It's about your right to be informed. Today, there are real threats to press freedom. And your right to know about the world around us. We must protect our right to know, no matter what kind of news is important to you. Before it's too late. Understand the threats. ProtectPressFreedom.org.
This is the Steve Malzberg Show
on today's News Talk Radio,
TNT.
All right, folks. Back to the Super Bowl, which I'm still so amazed that the 49ers apparently didn't know the rules when they made the choice to receive the ball in overtime. I mean, it's just mind-boggling. I've said this a million times. I said it the last week on the air here. And it seems like the more you deal with people like on the phone. I dealt with somebody today about something I applied for on the phone. And I don't even want to get into details. But the fact is, incompetence, they could be nice enough, but incompetence is not only accepted, it's expected. That's where we are now. It's expected. And if you criticize it or say anything, I mean, God forbid, you don't even know. I'm on the phone. I don't know what race or creed or color or gender the person is. Most of the time, the other one, I don't know. And, you know, if you said it to someone's face about someone that you did know, you'd be a racist, a bigot. I mean, we are just falling apart at the seams. We really are. Okay. Having said that, let me bring you this, the Black National Anthem, the Black national anthem. I didn't see it. It was played before the players took the field on Sunday. They've been playing the so-called Black National Anthem before Super Bowls. It started in 2020, from what I understand. It's Lift Every Voice and Sing. I got to tell you, it's disgraceful. It's racist. It belittles and demeans the rest of the country, our real national anthem, the only real. You could call it what you want, Black National Anthem. I don't care what you call it. You could say the Chinese Americans have a national anthem. Hispanic Americans have a national anthem. You could give one to every ethnic group that's in this country. It doesn't make it a national anthem. It makes it bogus and a joke. Because we have one national anthem. There is one America. There's not a Black America and a white America and a Latino America and all that garbage. Okay? By the way, the next bite will be 151 when I call for it. Thank you. A lot of people were outraged. One congressman, Matt Gaetz, Republican from Florida, made it known that he and his wife, like his wife said, what time are we watching the Super Bowl? And he said, we're not watching the Super Bowl. They're playing a Black national anthem, so-called. I have no use for that. And good for him. Good for him. I tell you, I'm getting sick of the NFL. I'm getting sick of the National Hockey League. Last year, 2022, during the All-Star Game, in advance of the All-Star Game, which was in Florida, I was here. And I talked to you about an ad for some event at the All-Star Game, and it basically was for minorities only. White people were left out of the invitation. Oh, and they apologized. It was by mistake. About my butt, it was by mistake. Wasn't by mistake. This year at the All-Star Game in 2023, they had a woman sing it, and the woman had posts, social media posts, Zionists stay home, not from the All-Star Game, but other things. Zionists need not show up, blah, 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 blah. And this is who they pick? I want to play for you right now. Reba McEntire, yesterday at the Super Bowl, with her rendition of the only U.S. national anthem.
By the dawn's early light, what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleam, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallant.
The one and only national anthem. Steve Cohen, a Democrat from Texas, tweeted out yesterday. He didn't like the fact that the crowd didn't stand up, most of them. Not a good look for the Super Bowl fans. I'm not going to even say the word he used. He didn't use the word Black national anthem. He used the word that started, it's not the N word, but it's another word that starts with N. I'm not even going to use it because I don't know why he would use that. I've never heard it referred to as that national anthem. I've heard it referred to as the Black national anthem, but whatever. Really? Then let's play every single ethnic group song in the whole country and not leave out one ethnic group. And even then, it would be their song, not their national anthem. Folks, thank you. Tomorrow we'll do it again, God willing. Tell your friends, tell your enemies. be back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, right here on TNT.